Thank you. So last week we began to take a look at the Sugi Vahu Arba. The Gemara opens the story of a boat and then zeroes in on the heart of the matter. The top of Lama Dalam Beis Gemara speaks about a scenario, Hahu Arba Davo Minsa La Betre. There was a boat that was Mutu B'machlokas. There were two different parties. Hayamar Didihi V'hayamar Didihi. Each one said, it's mine. And over the course of that Gemara, which we may return to later on, the Gemara does assume that the din is Kol Da'alam Gvar. That particular Gemara has a... The Gemara begins by getting into a detail, which we're going to put aside for now. The Gemara Lama Dalam Beis, can Beis Din seize it? And once Beis Din seizes it, can Beis Din release it? That's sort of a... That's a second level question that we, Billy Netter will come back to. But at the core, the Gemara says, in the midst of that Gemara, the Gemara says the din is called Al Mgvar. You have this boat which is being fought over, and as the Rashbam points out in Dumas Chol Hayam or Didihu, Velo Zev Zem Uchzakimba. So that's the scenario. You have an asset that's in dispute, and no one is Muchzak. And the Gemara continues that. And the bottom of Lama Dalam Beis, either a boat or real estate, if neither one claims to have had personal possession of it, each one claims that this was a family land or this was a family boat. So once again, you have an asset that's in contention. No one, neither party is muchzuk, neither with the tfisa dehashta nor with cheskes marakama. Because no Eidim have ever witnessed either of these parties on the land or in the boat. But each one says, it used to belong to my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. And so once again, the scenario is, there are no Muchzakim. That's what the Rashbam says. That's what Tosfos says. The beginning of Dumas Chahu Arba, Lamadam Beis. The din is called Al Mgvar. Why? Unlike Shnayim Ochzim Maishna, the same question the Rashbam raises. Maishna Mishnayim Ochzim Batalis, opening Mishnah above Metziah, two fellows holding on to Talis, din is Yachloku. Why here is it called Al Gamma? First, Benatam says that Tos goes on to present another opinion. Benatam takes the position that his brother takes as well. Ochzim Shaini, Kevin Shashneim Muchzakin, Ein Lanu Laniach, etc. The case in the Mishnah, in Bava Metziah, Shnayim Ochzim Batalis Yachloku, they're both Ochzim. Whereas here, no one is an Ochzim. Ritzvah makes that point as well. Here in the Sugya, we're talking about a case of no Muchzakim. No Muchzak. On the one hand, this case of no Muchzak, Rav Nachman says, Kol Da'alam Gvar. The Gemara asks, what are you going to do with Shnei Shtaros Yotzim Yom Echad? You have the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What are you doing? You have two Shtaros granting something to two different people. Rav has a star, Reuven has a star in his favor, Shimon has a star in his favor. The Yotzim B'Yom Echad doesn't mean that they're produced in Beis Din the same day. It means they're produced in Beis Din and they're both are dated the same day. Both of them date back to Rosh Chodesh Kislev Tavshin Samachay. Remember? To January 24th, 1976. Whatever the date is. Both have the same date. So now the question is, and each one claims, Reuven and Shimon, each one brings a shtar to claim that he is in the right. So that's a din Torah. Each one says, what type of shtar is this? As we mentioned, most Rishonim, and we'll stick to this, the Rabbi Gershom has a different approach. Most Rishonim understand we're talking about, and the Rambam understands this as well, we're talking about shtare mecher or shtare matana. Shtaros have to do with who owns an asset. We're not talking about a shtar chov, we're not talking about a debt, we're talking about the sale or gift of an asset. So Reuven and Shimon each claim to own this piece of land. Why? Because each one claims that the prior owner gave it to me or sold it to me on Rosh Chodesh Kislev Tavshin Samachay. The problem is that's what the other guy says also. So Shtei Shtaros Yotzim Echad, there too, we sort of have a dilemma. Neither one is really Muchzuk, neither one is Tisa Dashta, neither one is Marakama. And neither one claims to be Marakama. But each one claims the Marakama gave it or sold it to him on such and such a day. The same day. So what are we supposed to do? Shnei Shtaros Yotzim Echad, the Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, Yachloku, that we've heard of before. And Rashbam once again stresses near the top of Lamed Hamad Aleph, Yachloku, why the Sveiku? Okay, it's a Safik Mam, Yachloku. Velekele Meimra Hacha, Motzi Mechadero. Once again, Rashbam believes that even according to Simchas, if that's relevant, you're not going to say Yachloku. You wouldn't say Yachloku if there was a Muchzak, okay. Or maybe going Simchas or Chacham, whichever it is, but Muchzak is not relevant. Dein Echad Muchzak, Yosar Mechadero. Neither one can say that I am Muchzak more than anyone else. So we're not going to follow Muchzak Tisdashta. We're not going to follow Cheskas Marakamo. So Rav says, okay, Yachloku. And that sounds familiar to us from the Tyson Bavitzia. There's no Muchzak Tisdashta, no Marakamo, Yachloku. That's what Rav says. And Shmuel says, no, Shuda Didaini. It's the judge's toss. As Rashbam points out, in the second Diram Asal Shuda, that the word Shuda means to throw or to toss. Lashon Hashlacha. Yara Bayam, but that pasuk comes from where? Yara Bayam is Azasha, very good. So the Targum is Shadi Biyama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tossed them, was Mashlech. So yeah, that's that word Shuda. So Shuda means to toss. It's a judge's toss. The judge's toss. The judge's toss. El Nami name of Nachman, Chaluko Shuda. So Rashbam now unpacks the question. So why did Rav Nachman say Kalam Gvar? Why did Rav Nachman either say Yachloku or say Shuda the Daini? Where did that come from? So we began to talk last time about the machlokas. We showed him what exactly is Shuda. What does it mean, judges toss? How is a judge tossing? So we saw the Rashbam here, and Rebbeinu Gershom, and another Rishon also, all say the Shuda Daini, as the Rashbam says, La'oso shehei nota lev hadayanim, shaya nosein ovo krova yoser. The judge has to assess with whom was the Marakama more friendly. Vaday lahu garma va'aktinel. He must have given it to him. So we're going to try to assess the situation. That's what the Rashbam says. That's what Ben Gershom in the print of the Gilyon says. We saw Ben Gershom happens to disagree on a different point. Ben Gershom thinks that the Shtar, we're talking about a Shtar Chov rather than a Shtar Mechon Ratana. But for these purposes, right, Ben Gershom also says, we're trying to figure out what was likely to have happened. Ben Gershom is saying, to whom was this fellow likely, from whom did this fellow likely borrow first? Okay. And if you are looking for Rashi, no better way to look. You're in Bava Basra, you have Rashbam, you want to find the Rashi, no better way to find the Rashi than to look in the Masoros HaShas and see where else do you have Shuda Didaini. So the first entry in Masoros HaShas, Lamed Hamad Aleph, he says, Kiddushin Ayin Dalav Man Aleph, and what's that? Vav Shin Nun. See that with the chipchicks? It's an important Rashi Tevis. You see it often, every once in a while, in the Masoros HaShas. The Sham Nisman. You will find it all listed there. Whenever the Masoros HaShas doesn't have room to give you the whole list of all the places that something appears, he'll give you one. They say, look over there. I had more room in the Gilyon over there. Look over there for Sham Nisman. So you look in Kiddushin Ayin Dalav and Aleph, you'll see the whole list. What? Nisman. Nun Samach Mem Nun. The Russian Simon. Sham Nisman. So if you take a look.
All the copies disappeared.
Well, you take a look on Dalman Aleph. Let's take a look together. You also have a case of Shuda the Daini. Near the top of the Amud. Rashi says the same thing. It's the Daini's decision. The Daini's word determines the case. Like in Ksubas, it says in the case of Ksubas Pehe, that a fellow was giving his nechasim to Tuvia. The question was, well, to which Tuvia was he giving his nechasim? Asu Shnei Tuvia. Shneim Krovin. Shneim Shchenin. A fellow is on his deathbed, he's giving a matna shchivra. Matna shchivra is a fellow is giving away assets on his deathbed. It's one of the only times where verbal or a kinyan can be merely verbal. If he says, I want to give the dining room set to so-and-so, so that can work. That's the major topic of the ninth parak of Ar Masech, the ninth parak of Bava Basra, Misha Mis. So the Gemara says, the fellow says he's giving his nechasim to Tuvia. Problem is there are two fellows, he has two relatives named Tuvia, he has two neighbors named Tuvia. So now what? So which is the Tuvia? So the din is, Rashi says, the Gemara says, Shuda Dedaini. What is Shuda Dedaini? So Rashi says, Lamishi Yisnadei, an interesting word, Leila Dayin Lomer Nirali Shazdeha Yeradil Etlo Yosef. The din has to determine
with which Tuvia did the Nifter spend more time. He might have given it to Tuvia number one or to Tuvia number two. Who is he more likely to have given away this sort of significant gift? So Rashi is pretty clearly saying, as Rashbam does, as Meir Gershom does, that Shuda means you can try to make your best educated guess as to what actually happened. Try to get in the mind. There was someone, you have a scenario where there was unclear communication, is ambiguous communication. Either the Shchiv Mera says Tuvia, I'm trying to figure out which Tuvia, or in this case, there was too much communication, but all of it was a little unclear. I wrote a shtar to Reuven, I wrote a shtar to Shimon. They were trying to assess, so Rashi, Rashbam, Rabbi Gershom, will say, try to get in the head of the communicator and try to figure out what was he most likely to have been, what was he communicating? And try to make our best guess. Whereas Tosfos, Rush points out, Rush lays out the machlokas, Tosfos Rei lays out the machlokas, that Rabbi Notam disagreed with the Pirush HaKuntros, Jemasul Shuda, and Tam said, no, let me show you Tzad Dayan Litin, whatever you want to give, whatever you want, it's not. He's very clear. Not like Pirush HaKuntros, whether he's referring to Rashbam or Rashi, either way, that your Omei Daito, Alv Mem Dal is an important Shoresh. You see the second line in Tosus. She Ya'amdu Daito. Umdana means assessment. Try to make an educated guess. Not like Rashi and Rashbam, who said make an educated guess. No! For Rashi and Rashbam, Meir Gershom, it's a question of the judge's judgment. When we say judicial toss, the judge's toss, Shuda Dayani, for Rashi Rashbam, it means he has to use his best judgment. For Rabbi Yonatan, it means it's his choice. Whatever. Sounds almost like judicial whim. Whatever he wants. And Rabbi Yonatan goes on to give a series of rias. He goes on to give a series of rias. He says, number one, I have a Gemara in Gittin. In that context, it's the Gemara used the word Shuda to talk about Shaliach. And Shaliach gets to choose how he's going to deliver something. So it sounds like it's whatever he wants. Masha yirtze shaliach yase. As the Gemara says, whatever he wants, the shaliach can decide to whom to deliver. The karele hasam shuda. And the Gemara calls that shuda. And Tom says, don't you see that shuda means just you pick. It's your choice. Then he goes on to quote that Gemara in Kiddushin that you have. The Gemara in Kiddushin, the context, is as follows. The Gemara in Kiddushin there, it's about different cases where there's unusually, where someone has an unusual, extraordinary degree of ne'amanus. And there are many areas of halacha where you require two edim, based on the psukim. The psukim says two times in the chumash, the Torah speaks about requiring two edim, both in the context of capital punishment and the context of mammon. And the Gemara has a gzera shava to expand into davar sheba erev as well. The number of areas of halacha where you require two edim. But there are exceptions. And the Gemara there in Kiddushin Ayin Dal is talking about scenarios where because of my unique role in a case, I have more nemanas than you would expect. So one scenario the Gemara there discusses is, does the midwife, how do you know who's the mother of a child? Well, it is directly determinable. The child came out of the mother, at least before modern reproductive technology, that allows for a genetic mother to not be the gestational mother. That's a fascinating child beyond the scope of Shir right now. But before in vitro fertilization and before artificial insemination, so the mother of the child was indubitably, the baby came out of his mother's womb. But who's to know? Who's to know? So the Gemara discusses maybe the Chaya, the midwife, may have a nemanus that would parallel the nemanus of two Eidim, perhaps, in the other cases. You know, she's an Eid Echad, an Isha. Definitely not, she's not two Eidim. But yet, it could be that because of her role in the scenario, so she has unusual, extraordinary nemanos. And then the Gemara goes on to say, a Dayan, that's what Tosfos quotes, he's Neman to say, L'zeh zikisi l'zeh chiyavti. The Dayan also is obviously central in the Din Torah. So he's Neman to say, even that usually the Beis Din drafts a document, a shtar,
the signed star, the psak din. Let's say we don't have the psak din. So the dayan will be nemen to say, I remember that case, and this is our verdict. Reuven won and Shimon lost. So the Gemara, then the Gemara goes on to say, well, it depends. Okay. Only the Baal Din is still there. If it's this is ancient history, then not. So the Gemara says, if it's recent, if it's not a long ago, Baal Din of Om Din Lefanov, Uparich, Frechti Gemara, Venedvini Dine. So you don't have to have extraordinary ne'emanos. Just read. The psak is a psak because that was the Dayan's decision based on everything that he heard. So let him just re-decide the case. What if you say, oh, he's ne'eman to say this is the psak that we gave earlier? Think it through again and give the psak again. This didn't happen 5 years ago. It's not like you forgot the edus. It just happened. Baal Dinim opened the lefanos. Baal Dinim is still there. So what do you have to have a special chiddush of ne'emanos? V'ne'ah d'v'ni d'ayinei, just re-adjudicate the case. U'mashani, the Gemara then says, oh, you're right, a normal case, where there was Edim, there was a Shtar, there was a Shavua. Yeah, in a Chanami, ne'ah d'v'ni d'ayinei. You don't need to have the special ne'emanos. When do you need the special ne'emanos? When can you not merely tell the dayin, just rethink it? B'shuda d'ayinei. If it's a shuda d'ayinei, then It's not so easily replicable. But Nedavini Dine just replicated, go through the same process again, it's not going to work. So says Tosas, the question that Baruch Hashem you have been trained to ask, how does he answer the question? So, why is Shuda the Dine different? Or why does the distinction make a difference? Well, what's the svar for the chiluk? So is Shuda Dine, and therefore, the Nedavini Dine to the Shuda the Dine. That's Tosis Kashi. Ik Pirusha Kuntres. If you're going to send Rashi's Pshat and Shuda Daini, Akati, the word Akati means? Still. Good. Akati, Adayin. Neheder, Lamo Daita. It's still Neheder. Neheder Vene Daini. We're going to go back and judge in what sense. Lamod, again with the Aleph. Umdana. Lamod Daito Shal Nosin. According to Rashi, it still is a judgment. So it's judgment based on somewhat different modalities. Instead of just processing the edus and processing the shtar, you're trying to make a judgment call based on what we might call softer factors, fuzzier factors. I can't say for sure, but based on the sense I'm gaining of the relationships that seem to be going on, it seems like this is the lay of the land. It seems like this is what he had in mind. So you can replicate that also. The same way you can replicate thinking through the Eden, you can replicate thinking through your Umdana. Elamai, says Tosis. Obviously, Shuda the Daini is not replicable because it's just whatever the judge decided. So he decided, so I have to remember what I decided. You have to believe me that I said it then. Because I can't just, it's not replicable. I could say what I was able to say whatever I wanted then, and I could say something else now. So for that, you actually need ne'emanos. Because for Rabbeinu Tam, this is a totally different type of dynamic. You're not really judging the case. You're just saying what you want and giving your word. So giving your word. So that's something that neheder v'nedayinei is not going to work. We understand, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Gemara's answer of shuda d'dayinei, it's different. For shuda d'dayinei, you can need ne'emanos. Yeah, question? Question?
So it's just proving that
Shuda
the Daini is the judge's.
Correct. So far, Ben Thomas quoted two Gemaras that both indicate like his pshat in Shuda the Daini. Two Gemaras that indicate that Shuda the Daini is just a judicial call, but not a judgment call, just a call. The Bezin has to, you gotta say something. So you can say whatever you want, you can say Ruben, you can say Shimon, your choice, but you gotta say something. Yeah.
According to Rita Tom, why wouldn't you just. Same question every time. Also for him, why would you rely on the dayan rather than just redo the case and do another shuda d'dayinei?
Very good question. Yitzchak is asking how Tosfos's answer the question. Right, okay, so let's redo the shuda. Why isn't it a shuda according to Rabbeinu Tam? So I can't replicate the process because maybe I won't make the same call I made last time, but who cares? Do a new shuda. Interesting. As though according to Tam, the shuda sticks. Once you did a shuda, it actually sticks. which relates to another question, we have to ask ourselves, which is, how does? Yitzhak's question sort of pulls at the larger question which we left off with last time, which is, how does Shuda work at all? According to either side, but particularly according to Ben Tam. So, but to get to that, let's first read one more line in Tosfos, or two more lines. First, they give a third raya. Yerushalmi says, "Le'ezven shir to beizin lahachet machlitin." Whichever one beizin wants. It sounds very much like Rabbeinu Tam. Le'ez shiyirtzu. And then Tosfos has a question. Isn't this, they ask the question how it works, sort of, but in a somewhat different way. Isn't this asking for corruption? So you say, the Dain just gets to say whatever he wants? So you mean, okay, so there's a bidding war. I mean, I'll pay you to throw it in my... It's a question of which way you throw it. Shuda. So throw it in my favor. Let's say there are $2 million in assets in contention. Some piece of... $20 million of assets. Some sort of commercial real estate. So it's well worth it for me to give the Dain $1 million. And zenene zenene, he makes $1 million and I make $19 million. Tosfos says, "How could that be? But that's absurd. Isn't that against the chumash? Well, what's going on here? That works. The Dain just says whatever he wants, and I can just pay the Dain off, say whatever he wants." The Tosfos just says, "If all you see is Tosfos, just says no, that doesn't work. Kol Dainah de Mekabel Agra Lav Dainahu. Once you take money, you're not a Dain, and therefore your shuda doesn't work." What's he driving at? He's driving at two things. Tosfos is driving at two things. Number one and number two. Number one, you saw in the Chachmei Sfarad, the Rashba and the Ritva explain, where did Tosfos' kasha come from? Oh, why can't you bribe the guy? Oh, where did that fall from? And the answer is no, if you bribe him, it doesn't work. So what did the Rashba and the Ritva raise? Oh, the Yerushalmi actually says this, right? The Yerushalmi says, Shuchta the Daini. Shochad is bribery. You add one ches, it's a world of difference. So the Rashba's are the Rashba. You show us here. You have the Rashba in front of you, and the Rashba in Lamed Dalamin Beis. Excuse me, in Lamed Hayim and Alf. Shuda de Daini. Eitzel Misha Yirtu Adayanim Lahatilo Matilo Sami Daita Meritzonim. Who is the Rashba following? Rashi or Tosfos? Kili Tosfos, right? He says whatever you want. Now he brings as a raya to another raya. Raya number four, Kriyat Tam. In addition to the Gemara and Gittin Daf Yudal that spoke about the Shliach deciding who he wants to deliver it to and calling it Shuda. In addition to the Gemara and Kiddushin Ayin Dalet, Tosa quoted that the Gemara said the case where you can't say Nedavini Daine is Shuda de Daine. Shuda de Daine is not replicable. In addition to Yerushalmi, that Tosfos had quoted the le'ezven sheyirtzu lahachlus machlitin, and raya number four, the Rashba says, is another Yerushalmi. Tehid the garsim Yerushalmi shuda de daini shuchta le daini. Shuda de daini is shochar for the dayanim. So it certainly sounds, the Rashba says, that it's the daini gets to say whatever he wants. Now the Rashba is already. How do you understand this last line? The Lishna Yaseira Karminan. This is added language. Tanu Shochad Ladayan. Give Shochad, give bribe to the Dayan. Lomar, Shikoma Shirtiba Adayan, Yasa. Whatever that means to say that whatever the Dayan wants to do, he does. You learn this Rajba and your head is spinning. What? I mean, we do believe in Shochad? So you're beginning to understand what Tosfos is driving at. Tosfos probably had the Yerushalmi in mind also. What's Rajba saying? So the truth is, if you look in one of the Rashba's Talmidim, you then begin to appreciate. Some guys point out in Seder. Once you look at the Rashba's Talmud, you see what the Rashba himself was saying. But you look in the Ritva, is clear. The Ritva is a Talmud, both the Rashba and the Rashba's peer, the Ra'ah, who in turn both Talmidim of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ritva says clearly, this is a guzma. This is a guzma means an exaggeration. We're not actually saying you're allowed to use Shochad. That's a given. Everyone knows that. Psukim in the Chumash. Of course you can't give Shochad. He says, it's just a way of saying that this is totally up to Dain allowed to say whatever he wants. But as Tosfos said, if you actually take Shochad, then whatever you say doesn't count because you lost the moment someone gives you consideration, the moment someone slips you a 20 or a million, as the case may be, the moment you get shochad, that by definition categorically removes you from being a dayin. You're no longer a dayin. So it's not going to be shuda the dayini. If I say, I'm not a dayin, just because I said, oh, yeah, it should go to Reuben, not to Shimon, that's worthless. It has to be the dayin. That was Tosas' whole point. You have to be a dayin for your shuda to stick. If you're not a dayin, it doesn't mean anything. So the moment you take money, you're not a dayin. It's quite clear in the Chumash that the Lord is very, very, very opposed to bribery of judges. That's quite clear in the Chumash, in multiple places. The Tosas says, and the lumdus of it is, it's not only is it an aveira, which it is, a severe aveira, but the shochad, the moment you take shochad, you A, have violated a very severe aveira, and B, you've lost your status as a dayan. And therefore, your shuda won't even stick. And the truth is, that's what the Rish Mitzvah says. It's a guzma. The Rishonim wasn't actually recommending shochad. You don't have to know that much chumash to notice that we are very anti-shochad. It was an expression. It was a way, and then you look back at the Rashba and you realize that's the Rashba saying. Also, you have the Rashba in front of you. That's added language when we say to new shochad ladayin. Lomar. Lomar is like kilomar. What this actually means to say is shekamashir to bodayin yase. The zehu haperish hanachon. He may mean Zeo Perish Hanachon in what Shuda means, Tos is opposed to Rashi. He may also mean Zeo Perish Hanachon in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi does not literally mean that you are permitted to give a bribe to a judge in a Shuda, in a case where the din is going to be Shuda the Daini. That is elementary, that you cannot give a bribe to a judge. What he means to say is, if you could, you would. It's just up to the judge. There's no right or wrong answer. Whatever the judge says, goes. Ki'ilu, you would give a bribe. Of course you cannot. And Tosas made it very clear. Tosas were already like one step ahead. They didn't even quote the Yerushalmi. They said, but of course you can't actually give a shochet to the dayan. And if you tried it, not only did you do an aveira, he did an aveira, his shuda wouldn't even matter anymore. It wouldn't even count because he stops being a dayan. Now, so this is fascinating. And it also sets us up to appreciate what would you say based on this. So, how is the shuda working? How is the shuda? Right? That's still the crash kasha we had before. How does shuda work? We have to understand Rashi, Rashbam also. But Rabbeinu Tam, how are you talking? You just, whatever the dayin says goes? What does that have to do with Judaism? What is that? I understand follow the muchzik. I understand yachloku. Called on Gvar, we're going to have to get back to. Okay, that's also coming up. How does that work? We'll get there. It's bleeding out of the day of the week. But Shudani, according to Rashi, we'll try to think about also. But according to Tom, what is this? We left that kasha last time. So I just told you a few minutes ago, before we started learning the end of the Tosfos, this whole discussion about Shochad, and maybe in this, in the kashas and Terutzim, lie the answer. In the kashas, terutzim lie the answer, and maybe also in the rush. The rush. What did the rush say? The rush. Here, gimel chav gimel, I believe it is. Paragimel simen chav gimel. The rush quoted this machlekes Rashbam and Meotam, the machlekes of the brothers. The Meotam is arguing both with his older brother Rashbam and with his grandfather Rashi. See. Yeah, Gimel Chav Gimel, Pirsha Rashbam, Rolim Misha Daito Yikrova Yosef. Rabbi Tam says, no, below Tam, below Raya, Dain does whoever, Lemisha Yirtsa. And he quotes the same Raya as Tosa did from Gittin Yodalad, and Vikidushin Ayin Dalad. And then he also quotes from Ksubis, Sadi Dalad. A lot of Dalads going on here. Gittin Ayin Dalad, Kidushin, Gittin Yodalad, Kidushin Ayin Dalad, and Ksubis, Sadi Dalad, Amud Beis. And the punchline that the Rosh wants from Ksubis Ayin Dalad Beis that you have in front of you also if you borrow along Ksubis or if you have the copies is deeper into the sugya is a case of Shuda Dedaini and Rav Sheshes made a Shuda And Rav Nachman says, no, you're not a dayan mumcha, and I am a dayan mumcha. So take a look in the rush where the lines get wide. Actually, let's start from where he quotes Mishai, Tzai Dalam Beis, in the parentheses. Od Raya Midarmiyan Shili Mishai Anasu. Another Raya from the end of Mishai Anasu in Ksubas, Tzai Dalam Beis, in the case of Ime Dirani Bar Chama, Mrs. Chama. Mrs. Chama was giving away gifts to her children. So, B'tzafra Kasva Lenichzi Lirani Bar Chama. In the morning, she signed away her assets to Rai Rachama. Laurta in the evening, Kasvala Ravukva Barchama, or Marukva Barchama. They're brothers, apparently. They're sons of the same man named Chama. So Mrs. Chama wrote one star to Rai Rachama, to her son Rami, and another star to her son Ukva. So I'll see Rai Rachama Kaved Rav Sheshes. So Rai Rachama comes to Rav Sheshes. It says here's the case. Ukvi minichse rishayshes says that it's yours v'chulu. Okay, a longer gemara there, but here's the punchline. Rishayshes says to Rav Nachman, who wanted to make a shudah daini, mar my time avad achi. Well, why do you say this? Rav Nachman says shudah daini. I made a shudah daini. Amrle rishayshes said no, nami shudah daini. So why doesn't you're trying to overturn my psak? Says rishayshes Nachman. Because you say you're going to make a shuhu d'daini. Well, whatever psak I gave, let that count as a shuhu d'daini. If you don't like the way I gave my psak, you think it should have been a shuhu d'daini. Okay, so then let my psak count as a shuhu d'daini. Amrlei, no. He says several reasons why not. Chadav, reason number one, da'no daino mar lav daina. Because I am certified to be a dayan, says Rav Nachman, in a way that the Rebbe, Rav Sheshes, is not.
So I can go to him.
So he was able to judge certain cases, but apparently, without getting too much into the Sanhedrin aspect of this, says he wasn't a dayan mumchim. Hadavar talib b'rayas u'svaros. So now the Rosh says, if it's all about rayas and svaros, like Rashi and Rashbam, v'chir v'sheish l'ha yachal ladun din ha-talib b'rayas. Exactly Greenfield's kasha. V'sheish is saying din ha-Torah also. And hadavar talib b'ratz and hadayin, if it's talking the will, the decision of the dayan, nicha shav nachman ay dayan mumche piresh galusa, hayakoach biyado lesitin mishiyitza. Because he was a dayan mumche, he authorized by the resh galusa, the head of the Jewish community in Bavel, so he had the power to give it to whomever he wanted. That's why. Now we're beginning to get a little bit of a clue. Again, this is fitting in. Remember, the Rosh is bringing this really as a raya. Not to explain why, but to explain what. The Rosh is still working on who should we passing like, Rashbam or Ben Tam. The Rosh is piling on yet another raya in favor of, now we have five rayas altogether in favor of Ben Tam. Right? Three Bavlis and two Yerushalmis. We have Gittin Yudalit about the Shliach, Lemisha Yirtze, the Kiddushin Ayin Dalit, about the nemanas of the dayan, and we don't say ned divinei dayan because shu the dayan. And now we have this third bavli as well, ksubas tzadei dalet, where the Rosh is saying, look, according to Rashi, who cares that you're a dayan mumcha? But according to Ben Tam, I understand. Why do you understand? So now we're already getting into being a dayan mumcha somehow. So what pieces of evidence are we seeing? Working backwards, the Rosh says, oh, the Gemara in Ksuba says you have to be a Dayan Mumcha. For a Ben Tam, I understand that. That's why you're allowed to give it to whomever you want. Then he goes on to quote the Yerushalmi also. Right? And then what else did we see? We saw that somewhat similarly, what Tosas had said, oh, you're not a Dayan if you take Shochet. Okay, that may mean Bechlal, you're not allowed to be done the case at all. Hard to know for sure. What does this mean? What does this tell me? How is this working? Anyone see Tosis in Kiddushin Ayin Dalet? Some of you have a Kiddushin Ayin Dalet in front of you. Top Tosis, Shuda.
Shuda the dini pirish bekudre. The din change tala b'tama hakol if you rose in edam. It's up to the dying's call. One thing, he goes through a similar presentation. I mean, the Tom was bothered. How could it be that that means it's based on Svaris and Rayas? Even Svaris tell you Milsa. So how do you understand the Gemara here? You Shayin Dal, how do you say the Gemara Gittin? Lakach Pirish Alei Tom. Here we go. Around 10 lines down in Maryland. Shuda the daini means the kol mashir ta daim lasosia. Whatever the daim wants to say, what to do, he can do. The hefker bezdin hefker.
That's the answer. Four words: hefker bezdin hefker. And then Tosis in Kiddushin explains what's once you see that you realize that's what was going on. The other Baitosis were thinking also. The bezdin has the right. When it sees, the Beis Din has the right, when necessary, to unilaterally be mafker assets and maybe even transfer assets from one party to another party. Usually, it's being done as a penalty or as a punishment. That's how it usually comes out. Hefker bezdin hefker. The Gemara has in Gittin. The Gemara has in Maikatan. In Maikatan, in particular, it appears in the context of Cherem, based on Psukim in Ezra. The Beis Din has the right to withhold someone, to freeze someone's assets. The same way countries sanction one another sometimes. Right? So the Beis Din has the right to freeze someone's assets and even to make them hefker in a way that someone else is going to take ownership of them. So again, usually it's presented as the context in which hefker bezdin hefker comes up is usually as a penalty. But here, what it probably means is a point that the Rush made in the previous siman, we'll get to soon, called Dan Gvar, that Beis Din wants to maintain peace. So we have what Rabbi Anton sounds like he's saying is, and bear in mind, the Gemara said, when do you say Shuda or Yachloku? What did the Gemara say? Under what circumstances? As opposed to called Dan Gvar. How come by Shnei Shtars you say Shuda, while by the Ho'arba you say called Dan Gvar? What did the Gemara say? Depends whether. Right? Was it Dan Kes or not? Right? Ikla Mekam Ala Milsa or Lekla Mekam Ala Milsa? In other words, which is which? When do you say Shuda? Right. We're done. It seems like we've probably gathered all the evidence we're ever going to get. I mean, maybe that something will pop up, but it seems unlikely. Right? In the case of the Arba, Zamershal Vosa, I don't know. Like, who knows? It could be someone's going to come up in a week and says, "I remember his grandparents." Like, it's entirely that there's a whole world of there's a whole space of potential evidence that we have no way of even finding or knowing whether or not it exists. Who's to know who knew this guy's grandparents? It's anyone's guess. Right? So the Gemara says, "Oh, lekala mekala de milsa." Ikla mekala de milsa. It's entirely possible by the arba that we may yet have more evidence. So we're gonna hold off for now. We're not gonna make a call, but if it's what's it called? If we already think we've exhausted all the evidence, it's all here, and it's meager. All the evidence that we think we're going to get is in front of us. You have a shtar. They tried to find the edim of the shtar. They couldn't. We're done. And each one claims that he's right. What are you going to do? So you're going to have to do something. Take a look in the Rashbam. In the middle of the long Rashbam, the Hassan. He says, since Lekel Nekam of the Milsa, there's no more evidence to be had. So around seven lines down, Hilkach, Rab Amar Cholkin, Shmuel Amar Shuda Dedaini. Rab says Cholkin, Shmuel says Shuda Dedaini. Why? The whole of the Ein Lebarer La'olam, we do not anticipate ever being able to get greater clarity on the facts. Hadin and me, we're never able to figure out who's truly right. Mishtadlin Beisdin v'dadanosa. So Beisdin has to, fascinating language, they have to do hishtadlus. They have to down the case. You got to give a verdict. You can't just leave it open like that. You got to say something. You got to close the case. As opposed to Kol Da'al Gvar, the Ahu Arba, there may yet be more evidence coming in. So we're not ready to just make a call. In other words,
you shouldn't just say
Yachloku. Well, so Rav says you say Yachloku. Shmuel says you say Shu Dizaini. But either way, even the Rashbam is saying, this is likely to be true for Rabbeinu Tam as well. What the Gemara is telling, the Teretz tells us a lot about what was going on. We make a chiluk that the fact that the Gemara said that Shudor Yachloku is relevant when you say, when there's no evidence left, to beat down. In other words, we're done. And what the Gemara's understanding is, what Rav and Shmuel understood is, you got to say something. You can't just, and Shmuel in particular, you can't just, Beis Din is responsible for maintaining law and order. And Beis Din is responsible for keeping things peaceful. So, and if you just have open-ended, it has to be a call. So, the Rashbam understood, Rashi understood, how are you going to make the call? Well, what drug, they said, well, right. And what's that based on? Our analysis of the case. What principle of halacha is that?
Rove.
Right? It's Rove. Right? We say, well, what are the chances that he meant Tuvia number one? What are the chances that he meant Tuvia number two? What are the chances that the real star went to Reuven? What are the chances that the real star went to Shimon? Well, we don't know for sure, but let's go with the Rove. That's exactly what the Rashbam and the Rashi appear to be saying. That we'll do our best, we'll rely on Rov. Ain't Holchem Amanacha Rov. What? Ah, exactly, no Muchzuk. In the case of Muchzuk, it goes back to first principles. In the case of Muchzuk, we pass like Shmuel, Ain't Holchem Amanacha Rov. Shmuel, who says Shuda, would never say follow a Rov if there's a Muchzuk. But there is no Muchzuk. That was the Aleph Beis here. That's how we started the Sugya. So, okay, there's no Muchzuk. So Shmuel says it. So the Shrei, Shmuel says, follow the Rov. That's how the Rashi and Rashbam read Shmuel. The Taka is no Muchzuk. Okay. So then we're going to use all sorts of circumstantial evidence that would not normally be admissible into Beis Din. Most cases in Beis Din, there is a Muchzuk. Someone's a Muchzuk. So then, in most cases of Beis Din, any evidence below a certain standard is going to be ignored. Because ain't halacha mabama, not haro, because I'm motzei mechaver of a riot. But here's like an unusual case, with a scenario such as a muchzuk. So Rashi Rashbam say, so Shmuel said that now we're talking to follow the Rov. Ironically, Rav, who always follows the Rov, with the Mamanas, doesn't. He says, yachloku. We'll have to get back to that. But Shmuel, according to Rashi Rashbam, exactly, Shmuel is saying, follow the Rov. Look, sometimes it may be overwhelming, But as we saw in several cases, the Shuda cases are often, I don't know, like we saw the case of the two Tuvias, right? In Ksubas. I don't know, like they're both relatives, they're both neighbors. We try to figure out who do you like a little more? With whom did he spend some more time? It's not a raya machrachas by any stretch of the imagination. We're not saying we're 95% sure this is what he had in mind. No. But we're saying it's more than a coin flip. Better than a coin flip, it's 60-40. It's 55-45. And maybe sometimes it is much stronger, but it doesn't have to be. Even if a Rov Garua, okay, but that's better than nothing. We have no Muchzuk. If you had a Muchzuk, then you would, as we said, in Elchim HaMacharov, this is a super strong Rov. But this is not no Muchzuk. Oh. Whereas, so that's one way to make a call. You follow a Rov. Rabbi Natan, so why did Rabbi Natan disagree? So probably for 2 weeks. Number one, he says, well, I have all these Gemara, 3 Bavlis and 2 Yerushalmis that indicate against Rashi. So the Amoraim appear to hold that when they said Shuda Dedaini, they meant you do whatever you want. Okay, but Besvara, why would the Amoraim have said that? Rashi, I understand. He would say, I understand what the Amoraim said that. When there's no Muchzuk, then look at Rove. Rove is a rule in Torah Sasveik, just not when there's a Muchzuk. And what would Ben Tam say? Good, see, it's clear. You have all these riots in Bavli Yerushalmi, the Amoraim, when they said Shuda Daini, They meant just the judge does says whatever he wants. But why? Why would the Amoraim have said that?
Because they have to make a call, but you can't go by rove.
Why not? Why can't you go by rove? Maybe.
Better?
Yeah. Well. Right. So on the one hand, in Elchama Menachem Rov. On the other hand, that's the chara only when you have a muchzak, and there is no muchzak here. On the other hand, these riots, it could be that there is a speculation. these roves will be very, very tenuous sometimes. Ah, well, I thought that he's upset a little more. Well, what does that mean? Are you so convinced? So Rabban Tam says, no. Rabban Tam might argue that Amram would have said, it's not such an overwhelming rove, so it'll be a stronger call to just say that Basin will make a call. Whatever Basin's call is, based on the power vested as Hefkabez and we assess this again, as I said before. Hefkabez and Hefkabez usually is in the context of a penalty. Chazal choose to penalize someone in an extrajudicial way because it's necessary to maintain standards. But here, it's we're going to do something extrajudicial because it's necessary just to maintain law and order. It has to be that there's a call. So Bazin has to make a call. Lav Davka is a rove so compelling. Whatever Bazin says, that becomes the call. And by the way, this idea of that Rabbi Tosin in Kiddushin says, the Tam is based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that not only explains, as the Rush said, that Gemara and Ksuba is that you have to be a Dayan Mumcha, but also explains the Gemara and Kiddushin Ayin Dalu, this we close, that said, you can't redo the Shuda. I think Yonah had asked that. Why can't you redo the Shuda also? Right, so he said, well, according to Rashi, why not just redo it? Think it through again, and whatever, you'll come to the same conclusion if it's a logical analysis. Ah, according to Rabbi Tam, it's just a call. So I think it was Yonah. Someone asked, well, okay, so just redo a Shuda. Say whatever you want again. The answer is no, you can't. Why not? Apparently, the Shuda sticks. Why did it stick? The answer is because that was a call. That was created facts on the ground. That was a Hefker Bezdin Hefker. When the Dayan, if you're a Dayan Mumche, if you're qualified to make a Hefker Bezdin Hefker call in such a situation, you say, I am awarding it by the power vested in me through Hefker Bezdin Hefker, I am awarding it to Reuven. So you can't change your mind later. We certainly wouldn't do another Hefker Bezdin Hefker on top of it and yank it away from him. We're not going to advocate for that. It already belongs to Reuven based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker. So what we'd prefer in that Gemara is a Ne'emanus. What remains to be dealt with tomorrow, Mitzvah, within the Sugya, we already understand the two Shitas, what they are, in Shuda Daini, and the Lumdus of the two Shitas, either based on Rov, we see the weakness of that, or based on Hefker Bezdin Hefker, we see the points that line up with that in terms of Dayan Mumcha, in terms of once you do it, it sticks. The one question that remains is what are Rav and Shmuel arguing about? Or as Tosis puts it, was the Kasha from Rav or from Shmuel? We saw the Rashbam and said it was both. Why do Rav Nachman either say Shud or Yachloku? That's not so Pashit. You will see that Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.